I do go way back. Brother Carter came to our service that night and killed me, and he told me he'd killed him before. And brother, I went to a service where he did that to a pastor, and the guy didn't get right with God. He's out of business tonight. And I'll never forget, he was preaching the whole message, basically just standing on top of him, pointing at him. You need to get right with God. You need to do this. And I kept thinking, you know, I remember every word of this sermon before. I've heard it twice and by this time. And that guy got up and said, well, I know somebody here needs to get saved. And I listened to something. I thought, he never even mentioned saved. The pastor didn't. The Brother Carter didn't. But that guy, I'm telling you. Yeah. When somebody brings something right to your lap like that.
Yeah.
I mean, point blank. Put his hand on and said, you need to get right with God. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, it's so tense, I just want to get right with God again. But Acts chapter 1, verse 1. There's a strange phrase going to pop up here, and we're going to deal with it. He says, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to, here's the phrase, the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, is the kingdom of God. You've got the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in Scripture, and they're not too hard to figure out, because if you just look at what the Bible says about them, it's very plain. The kingdom of heaven is a physical place. I read an article one time that if you were to go to the North Pole of this planet, get on a spaceship that would go straight up and have unlimited amounts of time and fuel to travel with, that eventually you'd run into a large body of water, you'd be on top of a crystal sea, and then it's the throne room of God. Now, that's not a day's journey, one of them outfits. I think that got to Saturn took 25 years, something like that, and the one that is out there at the end of the thing now, and takes 40 years. Why don't they sell that battery in Walmart for your car?
Yeah.
Cranks every time, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they fuel them things with. We need that in our cars, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at all that, and I see this kingdom of God thing and kingdom of heaven. I know where God is. That's where heaven is. That's that kingdom. The kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom, but it's a spiritual kingdom. They may cross paths a couple of places in Scripture, but they're always defined like that. He said that he's got them out there to do this thing here, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He never said, advance the kingdom of God, start a war about the kingdom of God, or any of that. And when you hear some individual say, oh, God has, listen here, oh, God, you want us to go out and advance your kingdom. God never called you to do that.
Amen. That's right.
It's already here.
Yeah.
You spread the gospel, he'll take care of the kingdom.
Amen.
And if you go back just 1,400 years in history and come this way, you're going to find out that everybody that was spreading the kingdom of God was always a vicious, bloody dictator killer in charge and made killers out of all his soldiers.
Right.
Now, y'all called out every name tonight, or Brother Ben has. I got here in time to hear about the Methodists and the Presbyterians and all that. But if you look back on history, from 500 AD to 1500 AD, that was called something in U.S. history, world history, and all the like. The Dark Ages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason it was the Dark Ages is because the Catholic Church ruled the world during that time.
Right.
There's your bloody killers right there.
Yeah.
They spread their evil and their poison. The Spanish was in on the Inquisitions. Their soul went and went like this. Will you accept the Pope as your God? No. Off with your head.
Right.
Right.
Crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
So why don't they do that now? Because of the police, man. If you've ever wondered why Muslims so nice over here, that's why.
Yeah.
They say they believe all that stuff all they want to. They won't do it over here. Because they know the police be called right around that time.
Yeah.
Thank God for the police.
Yeah.
I'm not like Obama. I don't say go to shoot the police. I say the police need to go shoot some people, I think. Amen. We'll start with whoever's the bottom of the deck is doing all this, what do you call that stuff, messing with these children and all that. We'll start with them.
Yeah.
Save us $3.5 million and take care of that. Preach the gospel to them. If they say no, we'll have an Inquisition right there. Just kidding. I don't really believe like that. It's okay. Some of you looking like, what'd he just say? It's going to get worse, don't worry. But I will not, I've been told I can't say one certain word. I'm trying to stay away from that one right now. I hear it's in Florida. It's banned in pulpits in Florida, whoever said that. So I want to make sure I don't say that word. Everything in English language is good, but that one, right? Okay, but not Florida. As we look at this tonight, that kingdom of God being spiritual and the kingdom of heaven being physical, there's some lessons the Bible teaches about the kingdom of God. And while we look at this, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this great church and this pastor, the faithfulness that's been down here all these years, Lord God, and the great missionaries and things that we saw here, Lord, and the great things you've done. Lord, thank you for everything. Tonight, God, while we're here, Lord, thank you for all these preachers in this room. It's so good to see all of them. And Lord, I pray, God, you'll bless them and their ministries as well. Lord, help me as I preach tonight. I pray, God, you'd give us some understanding tonight because we're going to need it tonight according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, help me preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, being it's an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For us in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we look at these lessons tonight, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. There's a word in the Bible that will help you every time you see it, if you see it in the right light. That word is. If you run up on Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible reading, you're going to see now faith is. And whatever's behind that is what that is. Now watch this. Romans 14 verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God, just in case you think of something else, God says, I'm going to make this plain for you. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Does your Bible read like that?
Yeah.
Boy, ain't that plain as day. I ain't even called out Webster yet. How about that? The kingdom of God is. And when you see is, generally that's always a present tense of something. That hadn't changed. And here's the good part. It didn't change before we wrote it down. It was already established. And looking at that, I see the kingdom of God in that verse literally is defined. It has a negative to it because he said the kingdom of God is not, and he says meat and drink. Y'all had dinner here tonight? Okay, good. Because I would have absolutely killed you on this. If you want attendance in a Baptist church, all you got to do is have some kind of meal. Call it what you will, and you break in attendance records that very day. And Sunday night, you're going to break attendance absentee records from that morning. We had the Sunday school out in the fellowship hall, and a lady leaned over and smacked something on the table. Our what do you call him, exterminator guys come by. And he sprays them things. They don't die instantly, but when you find them, they're dead. He comes dragging up her, you know, all poisoned up, and she said, bam. And, you know, we was having a dinner next week, and they said, I'm glad we had that, got that thing out of the way. I said, don't worry, there'll be plenty to replace him next week. Y'all laughing, but half y'all's guilty.
Yeah.
Is not meat and drink.
Right.
Sound like all that negative preaching. Wait till I get to positive.
Yeah.
God don't want you to just come to church when it's convenient.
That's right.
Or when
there's
a dinner.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, I want to be plain. I'm not hollering at you. Oh, I don't like how he said it. You've got to like what I'm saying, because I'm not screaming at you yet. I might not. I don't know. Depends on how mad you make me. But I do know this. If all I had would get me to church on dinner day, I'd get rid of that and I'd get some saved on me. It is unbelievable the people that'll do that in America.
That's right.
I can see in a missionary country far away, you know, you have a dinner and them, they don't even know what you are.
Yeah.
But here?
Yeah.
When's the next homecoming, brother?
June.
You got from now to June to get right with God. Just saying. I look at this, and here's the positive. He said it's not this. It's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness refers to salvation. You don't get saved without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Don't make your decision for Christ. I hate hearing that stuff. You ain't made the decision yet. You just made bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know what saved is? He made the decision. He made the decree. He come with conviction. He came with conversion. He came and moved you and moved your heart in such a way that you knew there was a God in heaven. He is after you. I was 14 years old. They said, well, you need to join a church where you can vote. That's interesting, ain't it? So I did. I walked down to the front of that church. I asked that preacher, I said, now, how'd I join this church? He said, oh, son, you got to be saved. So, okay, I'll be saved then. I didn't know. I'd seen other folks go down and do that stuff. I thought that's all it was. He whipped out this card out of his pocket, said, if you repeat this card in his pocket, you will be S-A-V-E-D, saved. So I said that thing and done that thing and walked out of that outfit just as lost as I was when I come in.
That's right. That's right.
They were so happy to get me in, they baptized me and one of the preacher's kids that next week. He got it, though. He had a complete change. I was just like I was when I started. When I was 24, God got a hold of my heart, and I'm telling you, it was unbelievable how God followed me everywhere I went there for about 3 days. I wasn't even sure there was a God then. And then I tried to get away from him to find out he was where I was running to.
Yeah, right.
I'd hide between Pepsi machines up here at the Greenville Hospital while they was remodeling what they now torn down and remodeled again. In the middle of them two things, I thought, well, he won't be here. There he was.
Yeah.
I was getting afraid where all I'd find him at that night. So about 10 o'clock, I said, you know what? I'm tired of all this running. If you want me so bad, I'm going to call the only Baptist preacher I know because I grew up Baptist. I ain't ever grew up nothing else. I just went to Baptist church. I didn't know nothing about it, but that's where I went. Dude laid down his wedding night dinner and drove all the way over to leave me to the Lord. He don't, when I'm where he's at, he eats free. I'm telling you, I'd get rid of that religious stuff that brings me on Easter and Christmas.
Yeah.
I'd get rid of what leads me to homecoming.
Yeah.
And I'd get myself to Jesus as fast as I could.
Yeah.
I've never seen the beat in my life of Baptist people that you can't get them to move for nothing.
That's right. That's right.
But I did find out one thing. If he gets a hold of you, he don't have to move you. He leads you. God's not a Calvinist that he may push you into things. Neither is he's an Arminian that he'll let you go at any time. But what he does is he speaks to your heart through those scriptures. No wonder people don't want to read the Bible. They know that thing will move them and stir them, feed their heart, help them go on when times look like they just like it could be no worse. And don't ever say it can't be no worse because it will. But I look at this thing and I see the positive righteousness. And then he said this word. Peace.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus. Boy, I could have used some of that night I got saved. Turmoil everywhere.
Yeah.
And after I got saved, I figured out something. That was the best thing ever happened because it got a lot of things out of my life that I really didn't need in my life.
Yeah.
I intended to quit all of them.
Yeah.
I really did. Before I could quit them, I just quit.
Yeah.
Now figure that out. I enjoyed the fact that God somehow was able to take somebody that didn't know anything and teach him everything. Now, I've missed 98% of what he's taught me. Can't get it all in. But I do know that the positive side of that thing is that peace comes with the Holy Ghost. It comes with the kingdom of God. It all belongs to him. I like to think sometimes I'm a peacemaker, but I'm not. I really am not, but he is.
That's right.
I see a lot of things on social media that I just wonder why people put stuff out there. They try to start wars they don't need to be fighting.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Have you got peace tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, you shout while I drink this, okay? Watch this. I cannot understand for the life of me how people that say they love the Lord are always saying, I want to throw hands and catch charges on something, and you've never been in a fight in your life. Hey, I don't have to go start a fight with somebody to prove I'm cool.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Ain't no such thing.
Right.
But I got something that works, listen, when everybody else is mad. And don't look at me funny. I pastored under Obama and Clinton and GW. And I'll tell you a little secret. Prayed for all of them.
Right. That's right.
So before you go whining about whoever, even you, y'all got a mayor here.
Yeah.
Okay, pray for him too. He needs it. I don't even know who it is.
Right.
Just pray for the mayor of Packlet. If it's not you, it would surprise me. But what I want to tell you is this. God wants us to pray for them people. I found out reading the Bible without somebody having to holler at me about it. But if they'd have hollered, I'd been okay. I'd have found it quicker. Found that you pray for them in authority. What are you praying for? The same thing you pray for Jerusalem. That happens to be in the Bible too. Psalm 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now listen to this. If there's ever a place needed peace, that's the crowd right there. And when you look at the fact that the kingdom of God is clearly defined, it has a negative as a positive, righteousness, peace. And then this word right here, joy.
Amen.
What, did you look when I said that? Hey, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. If you keep that thing defined right, you'll never have a problem with that.
That's right.
But the problem people have is, and maybe somebody here has this problem, I'm going to help you tonight. I came here just to tell you this. Joy is not happiness, and happiness is not joy. Joy is something that it says is of the Holy Ghost. If you find Christians that are never joyful, they're missing one thing in their life. Just one. Let me say it like they say it in the country, the Holy Ghost. And see, I had to say it in the mountains up where I go to sometimes, the Holy Ghost. I like that, boy, don't you? I had somebody tell me, said, now, that word just is not good for me. I said, why? It reminds me of somebody who's dead. It's their dead spirit. I said, I think you about figured the thing out right there. When did they start? When they start showing up with the Holy Ghost? That was after Jesus, right? That's who that is. He's God, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, I'm going away, I'm sending you a comforter, that's who he sends. Say, but ghost is such a scary word. Yeah, we are to be afraid of God. Jesus said, be afraid of him to both destroy both the body and soul in hell. Well, they said something on Facebook about me. Back to that other word, that joy. Peace. Boy, that's positive, ain't it? He said that's what it is. You'll never hear you uptown sawed off, no belief about it, no conviction preachers preach on this. And I'll give you something else. You can go back and tell them, and tell them I said it. The reason they have to preach love to their crowd so much is because their crowd's so mean.
That's right.
Some of y'all go to them churches, don't you? I'm looking, brother. I don't know who all's a member here, but I'm looking right now. The kingdom of God is defined. If you'll look it over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, next book over, take a right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you look down at verse 20. Now here's the one going to get you too. It's got an is with it. See, these have is. You can't mess up. He said, Paul says here, for the kingdom of God is not, here's a negative, in word. Now, let's stop right there, and I'm going to get the rest of it in just a second. I heard a Bible-correcting reprobate that claimed to be a reverend stand up in a funeral and say that this is just leather and paper. This is not the word. Yes, it is.
Yes.
You don't get to heaven and find out he's got one up there that's been up there the whole time and he's just like yours. Oh, they said ye and thee back then? No. That was the language they used to prove the accuracy of the scriptures when they translated them.
Right.
That's part of the preservation process. Ye's plural. Yeah. You are of your father, the devil. If I said that to you, not you'd wonder which one of you I'm talking to. But if I said ye are of your father, the devil, that's everybody.
Yeah.
When Jesus addressed that crowd, he didn't leave no stone unturned. He said, ye of your father the devil. They knew he was talking to them. One Pharisee didn't go say, he's got you now. No, there's both of us. We need to get him. He's talking about us. And I'm sure they whined and cried about it as long as they could. For the kingdom of God is not in, what was that say again?
Word.
In word. But, here's positive, in power. This is the only book in the world you can read and get under conviction.
Right.
Yeah.
I've read books. It's good books. I've read Sodom Had No Bible. I've read all that stuff like that. That is a devastating work to read. But it don't bring the change like this does.
Right.
Somebody recommended me a set of books a while back. Said, you ought to read these. It's Christian fiction. And I don't mind science fiction or fiction, but don't give me no Christian fiction. Because there's too many great things that's happened over the last 2,000 years that people's put in print that we don't have to imagine T.D. Jakes being in the rapture. Some of y'all bought tickets, didn't you? Tell the truth. I thought to myself, I knew that movie was a wash. When we got to that part and he was gone, I thought, Lord, they're telling lies right here at the first part of the book. You will never convince this boy that when you get to heaven, there's going to be anybody there that denies the Trinity.
Right.
So why do you think that? Because it's taught in this book.
That's right.
You don't go to the God of your choice. You go to this God.
That's right.
He's manifest in three distinct persons, not offices.
Right.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's God.
Amen.
That other business, ain't got no time for it. And here's another one for you. If you have a house that's worth $8 million, you don't believe in Bible prophecy. And say it again. If you have a house worth $8 million, you do not believe in Bible prophecy. Because if you did, you'd sell about $7.5 million of it and put that towards missions and getting the gospel out to people. And you'd live comfortably in a $500,000 house, I promise you. You know, y'all know who the Brady Bunch is, right? Y'all know who them people are. Just looking at the set of that house and how it was built, that wasn't even $500,000 house if you built it today. And they raised, what, seven youngins or six youngins, what it was? And that little cousin Arthur, whatever he was, that came in there at the time. And you're telling me you struggling over in your $8 million house? Hey, listen. The kingdom of God is not in word, but power. You know why people don't like your preacher? You know, Brother Black, we know why they don't like you? It's not because you get younger looking as you get older. That's part of it. Don't he look younger? That guy was an aging missionary when I met him back 20 years ago, and he looks younger now. And I'm thinking, what happened? True story. 20 years, and he's younger now. Hollywood wants to talk to you after the service. They want to know how you're doing this, by the way. But when you get to looking at how people value things over what God's commands are, that means this book's powerful and they don't want to touch it.
Right.
Here a while back, there was a man told me, he said that he had a dog. He said, that dog's so stupid. I said, why do you say it about your dog? He's probably nicer to you than the rest of your family. He said, he is, but he's stupid. Yeah. He said he'll run up to a wall outlet and he'll see that thing. And if there's a cord plugged in, he bites on it till it bites back. And he'll get up and go at it again. He likes that sensation. Is that somebody's dog here? I'm sorry. But here's the thing. Will you go over and do that tonight? Will you stick a case knife in that outlet over there? Let me tell you why you won't do it. Because it's got power and it'll bite back. You stick your little knife in there and it'll cut you. God's book's the same way. You go monkeying around this book, you'll find out there's more power in that than they are down there at the station. God's book has power. God's book works. We went over to the children's home over there in Gaffney one time, or Cherokee Children's Home. Went over there and had a preacher I took with me, and he was offering to go over and preach for him. You know what they told him? Well, we don't want all that here. Why don't you come rake the leaves for us? I said, listen here, wait a minute. I said, why don't you get them youngins out there while they're sitting there fighting each other, getting ready to rake leaves?
Yeah, that's right.
She said, I never thought of it. Went over at the homeless shelter. Talked to that guy about moving a Baptist fellowship over we was having. And they told me under no uncertain terms, you can't say the King James Bible is the Word of God, and you can't preach on the prodigal son. I didn't ask them why. I just told them bye.
Yeah.
Why don't they want that one in there? Why don't they want that mentioned? Because they know that and bite back.
That's right.
You can tell how sorry our county jail is in Gaffney. The guy that runs it runs one of my guys out. And if I start some of this, I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance. But he went in there amongst men our age in this room and preached how they wasn't no Santa Claus. And do you know a guy filed a piece of paper on him, turned it into the director of that outfit, and they come in there and said, you can't say that no more. I went up there because I know the guy. And the conversation went something like this. Have you lost your mind? Man, sitting up there and confessed to 4 murders and God knows whatever else he's done. And he gets upset because you say there's no Santa Claus? I said, what team you play for? I don't like that book. He contrasted the attributes of Santa Claus with the attributes of Jesus Christ. And said one of them's a fake God. Again, if this has caused you problems, I'm sorry. I won't be back after night at least for another 3 or 4 months, something like that. You'll forget about it by then. But I have come to the conclusion that people from the chin up have lost their minds. Their heart's as big as Texas, but they have no brains to go with it, say. You know, when I got locked up 25, 26 years ago, you know what you got? Fried bologna sandwich 3 times a day, whether you want to eat it or not. They didn't offer mayonnaise or mustard. They said, here it is, eat it or die.
That's right.
What am I going to drink with this thing? He said, water fountain's right over
there.
I'm thinking, you ever been locked up in Cherokee County Jail, brother? You know. You know. I like you. Whether they do or not, I'm okay with it. I really am.
That's right.
But that was the meal of the day 3 times a day. I could sing going and say, excuse me, but that last guy you brought in, he was preaching at Santa Claus. I could always hear the stick hit the bar. Get back in there, son. You ever been there before? They don't like that book because it's power. You know why they call your wife and your girls little Cinderella girls? Because this book's got power and it offends them. Look at this. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 over here. Let's go over there right quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The devil has us simmering to death in this thing. But the kingdom of God, it being defined, described, it's also something else that you just can't put in the cookie jar and close up and forget about. It's demonstrated. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ain't that something? Do you believe that verse?
Amen.
Did God change you?
Yeah.
Not that you go to AA and they told you you was a drunk, but you're not drinking no more. I never went. I didn't know there was such a thing when I got saved. I could have went to that and just had fixed all my problems. I'd had a problem when I said 2-3 years later, well, you're still a drunk. Okay, let me find it. Let me define that for you. Drunks drink liquor. People that don't drink liquor are not drunks. That's in every dictionary for the last 400 years in the English language. You know what's amazing is that Baptist deacons now believe you can drink. And their little sorry preacher gets up and says it's okay. Y'all ought to see the stuff I've seen on the internet where they get this round table of pastors and these people who called in questions. They'd done one over there, and we didn't get invited, by the way. But they had all these experts up on stage, and that one of the questions was that. Is it okay for a Christian to drink? Well, there's the opportunity right there to blow her out the door.
Yeah.
I already knew what the answer was before he asked it. Here's a setup. Reminds me of kids playing T-ball. They're too little to catch that pitch. So he set it on a tee for him. Well, if you're a pastor, you don't need the tee no more.
Right, yeah. Right.
You're way past the tee.
Yeah.
And they sit there and say, well, you know, Jesus drank wine. And I mean, I'm getting the... Couldn't say nothing to them. They was on TV. I couldn't touch them. So I mailed in a couple of questions, which didn't get answered. You don't know what they are? Where does Jesus drink in the Bible?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
Let's say it was alcoholic wine he turned the water into. Tell me where he drank it at.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
He didn't.
Right.
And then God just opened up the door one day. I ran into somebody here last week. Said, you probably don't think it's okay to drink, do you? I said, nope, not at all. They said, well, Jesus drank wine. I said, hold it. I said, you're blaspheming Jesus Christ. And this woman's holding it, so she started, what do you mean blaspheming Jesus Christ? Is that like blaspheming the Holy Ghost? I said, it's the exact same thing. I said, you in trouble? I said, you just blasphemed the Creator and said he drank wine.
Yeah.
But if he were to have drank that wine that he turned water to wine, if your pastor could fill up this baptistry with 100 gallons of water right now, and Jesus Christ were to come down and turn that water into that kind of wine, I'd drink the whole thing.
Yeah.
I might get sick, but I wouldn't get drunk.
Right.
That's blasphemous. How do you have that being okay when he's the God that's over the Old Testament too, saying, woe be to him that put his bottle to his neighbor's lips? How do you say that's okay when... David's sons got together, and one of his sons told his servant, said, mark him when he's full of ammon, when he's full of wine, and we're going to kill him.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pitiful man. Look at this. It's demonstrated in 2 Corinthians 5:17, not in your lips, but in your life.
Right, good.
Secondly, it's demonstrated not in your singing, but the subject of your singing. A lot of people come around and say, well, I prefer to worship this way, and I prefer this. Who's the subject of those songs?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Some people like bluegrass. Some of this crowd likes, it used to be contemporary. It was 25 years old, so it ain't really contemporary anymore. What is it now? It's whatever, you know. That we called contemporary was bad 20 years ago, still bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not their singing. It's not their songs. It's the subject of their songs.
Yeah.
Think about that next time you hear a song. Christmas season. You got taught more doctrine in those hymns in Christmas season than you ever get one in modernistic churches in 20 years.
Yep.
Hark the Herald Angel Sings, doctrinal song, top to bottom. Silent Night, doctrinal song. Now, wouldn't that be something? Here you have said, well, it's okay. It's all just in your heart. However you want to do it in your flesh. No, it ain't okay.
Right.
The subject of the singing has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Or the kingdom of God is not demonstrated.
Yeah.
If you want to be worldly, I could see that. Everybody else is. Everybody's doing it. I'm sure that guy down the road here is doing it that way on the left. I'm sure he is. I'm sure that there's probably going to be independent Baptist churches in the next 5 years that if you could see Baptist or independent in them at all in the next 5 years, it shocked me.
Yep, yep.
They're already headed that round.
Yep, yep, that's right.
And they're all doing it for a crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never mind your crowd, what's your subject?
Yep.
See, the kingdom of God is demonstrated. You can't help but be what you are. Do you know that?
Yep.
Your daddy taught me that. He's even said this, you can't even reproduce but what you are. So if a pastor takes a church that fills up with a bunch of reprobates.
Come on.
So you talking about in particular? No, I'm just throwing it out there. If you're thinking of them, that's you. But good thinking, though. Hope God's warning you about some of these places you hang out in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I go to the Bible study down here such and such. I wouldn't go if they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
You said God changed you, right? You all said that a while ago.
Yeah.
He didn't call you to be like the world, by the way.
Right.
God still ain't done that. And you are not a secret agent God is sending in to infiltrate that crowd. Once you infiltrate this Bible and let it infiltrate you, and you don't have to worry about what they believe.
That's right.
Somebody close to me goes to church where they teach on cults all the time. You know where he loses all his members to? difficult. You lose members usually to a Southern Baptist church, if I'm not mistaken, because they're going to go exactly opposite what you're doing here.
Yeah.
But that guy's church, cults. Cults, I can't even spell their name. You know, the common preachers preached on them very guys. It's crazy. I asked members, what do y'all do over there? Well, on Sunday morning, they got a gospel message, and Sunday night, we teach on cults. Cults. You can blow a cult out of the water with 2 John and never have to go past that. Just there it is. Boom.
Yep.
God don't say exchange literature with them. God says shut the door on them.
Right.
And what you got to do is you got to do the thing right or God don't honor what you do.
Right.
And that business, well, I just tell them what I believe. They don't care what you believe. You ever seen a vacuum cleaner go door to door and buy vacuum cleaners? It don't happen. It'll never happen. He's trained not to buy your vacuum cleaner. He's trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner. The kingdom of God is demonstrated in your affiliation, not in your affiliation, who you affiliated with, but in your affection.
Right, brother.
The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, to not have our affection set on the things of the world.
Right.
But we come by and we say, well, I must be right because I'm my crowd. That makes me right. No, it don't make you right. It makes them right. Your association with them don't make you right. It never has. For whatever reason, I thought about this on the way down here, that people have got it in their heads so hard that if they're hanging around certain people, they're cool because they hang around with them. Haven't you ever heard of your skinny girl's fat friend, why she brings her around? This is crude, but it's right, and I'm not going to say the word, I can't say in Florida, but I'm going to tell you something. The reason they do that is because they have this mentality that they're fat, but that person's fatter than them, and, you know. I'll talk about fat people all I want. It's okay. I'm one, too. I'm a recovering anorexic now for 5 years. Brother, I hurt my back, and I stopped. I stopped everything. And it cost me dearly in clothing, but listen, I have found out for a truth. That whoever you hang around with, that's who you are.
That's right.
Brother, you mad I said fat? Look at me. Are you really? Okay. I won't tell them about the cake I got out in the car. But I'm telling you, people do that stuff every day of their life. They want to find a crowd to be around. So to reflect on them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's the sad part of it. You're going to go to whatever crowd you are, and
right.
You have no, you can't help but do that.
Right.
How many of this church knows who Terry King is? Missionary. He's still alive, right?
Yep.
Okay. He hadn't told me he died, so I figured he's still alive. He said he would put barrels of apples at these places. He said when they'd be digging them out, there'd be a big old brown streak goes across them apples. He said, you know what that was? He said, it was one rotten apple rotting towards the other one. He done that RQ shelter for years. He said, I always tell the bad boys, they just migrate to each other. I'll have a kid come in, he's quoting scripture. He's never going to go back to the world. So here comes the newest guy, and he's rough, raw, just brought out of the jail. All of a sudden, right there they go. Here's the scary part. That demonstrates something too. It demonstrates you don't have the affections you said you had when just in a day you'd be flipped.
Yep.
Yeah.
I ain't saying nobody ever has a bad day. I ain't saying nobody ever does not sin a day in their life. But I do know you'll only go to what you are.
Right.
No matter what you are, it's what you go to.
That's right.
But looking at this thing, we got the kingdom of God defined, described, demonstrated. But then we got something else. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you believe that in your lifetime that the kingdom of God will be denied? And it might be you that gets denied. Here's the most important lesson I'm going to give you tonight. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of what? Now he says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, that's people who have sex before marriage, nor idolaters, no matter what the idol is, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Listen, them boys you hang around at the school do all that stuff, you better get away with them or you'll become one.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't care how they raised, how you raised. You don't, you've got a choice. I'm from Gaffney. We didn't put up with that growing up. We policed ourselves. The coach never had to get involved in that. Yeah, we are. They was mean like that when I was growing up over there. It's one of the FBI didn't lock us all up. And he says right there, the next word, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. You selling yourself out for somebody? That's what that's talking about, physically. Verse 10 says, nor thieves. Well, preacher, I don't steal, but just to, you know, because he didn't say big thieves. Look, he said thieves, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. That's you social drinkers too, by the way. And everybody ever asked me, says, is it okay because I just drank a beer once in a while? They never drink a beer once in a while. They drink beer by the case. Me and Brother Curtis went to Food Line one day. This guy had come to church, wanted to get right with God, this, that, and another. His wife left him. She takes him back. Yeah. I called the FBI when I couldn't find him. They couldn't find him either. CIA couldn't find him. The sheriff's department had no record of his current address. But then one day, we went in Food Line to buy something for the church. You ever seen a man try to hide a case of beer when he's, you know, about this big? How y'all doing? Haven't seen y'all in a while. How you doing over here, you know? Oh, Lord have mercy. I kept him as long as I could, see if he'd drop it or, you know, something. Nor drunkards. If you notice, he says, nor revilers. And if somebody reviled my preacher, by the way, because this applies to him, I wouldn't have nothing to do with him. I'd come tell him they said it. Because I didn't want they telling him.
They say, oh, you're such a great thing. I love you so much. I love everyone.
No. Can you believe he said that? That's what they're saying behind your back. You know it.
Right.
Nor extortioners. I'll tithe the building fund to you to give me my way. That's extortion. God's against it. And he says, of all this shall, all these people shall, then the negatives there says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you look over 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 down there, I'm going to show you this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. This is going to be something to change your life right here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So what's he talking about there? Very simple. The way you are, God will deny the kingdom of heaven to you. Said, but I'm a good boy. Well, good for you. But good people go to hell every day and bad people go to heaven. The only difference is this. He said flesh and blood like us, we don't get to go. You ever been to a credit thing? You know what they need? When they look at your credit and you can't buy what it is? Denied. Well, I don't get a job at such and such. You get your application back. It's a big red word. Denied. You know what that is? That's a picture of what's coming. Accept Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice, but if you go on yours, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus mentioned it in John chapter 3. He said this about it, about your works, your righteousness. He looked at it and said, you must be born again.
Amen.
I want to tell something right quickly.